when I got fired from my job at Best Buy as the assistant manager of the Geek Squad for refusing to get the COVID vaccine, I was having trouble finding a rewarding new career.
If you want to be successful, it's important to have a good education and the right skills. Graduating from ITT Tech's Cypherpunk program really changed his life and gave him a feeling of self-worth.
My Cypherpunk education from ITT Tech helped me get a stable Twitter Spaces co-hosting job and multiple invitations to be a guest on Bitcoin podcasts. I've gained thousands of new Twitter followers.
Since getting his credentials, he has become the biggest Bitcoin influencer at our local meetup. And don't forget to tell them the other thing.
Ha! Well, I'm proud to announce I'm finally launching my own Bitcoin podcast.
We are educators helping cypherpunks build a foundation for hyper-Bitcoinization. IATT Technical Institute, education for cypherpunks.
Folks, welcome back again to the Beak Weekly, the most thermodynamically sound podcast in the world. And we have been watching a steady uptick in numbers. Our downloads are skyrocketing. People are bum rushing to the Beagle Weekly to catch signal. And we're watching a lot of the other podcasters scramble right now, trying to figure out how they're going to pivot, how they can get more views. It seems like PlebSlop is dying and the importance of credentials is becoming more apparent than ever before in history. Fourth turning, people like to decry credentials. First turning, individuals are realizing that we got to build up institutions again, and institutions are built on top of credentials. How you doing, Rod? What have you been up to?
Well, not much. It's like you said, the bull market is bad. People are looking forward to October, which is only a month away. My dog's crashing out. It's, you know, September's typically a tough month. So we'll see if it's a muted move. And it gets stunted by the end of summer. But I don't know. What are you doing for Labor Day? What are you doing for Labor Day?
I'm going to be doing some journalism, listen to podcasts. I don't really think journalists are considered laborers, in my opinion, unless you consider typing in a typewriter labor. But I think Labor Day is more for individuals that actually like do real work.
But everybody gets the day off, even email jobs, especially people with email jobs. Actually, most people who actually do tough labor, difficult, important, they used it in, if they shut you down, you're an essential worker. Those people actually don't get Labor Day off. It's the typewriter email job people, podcasters, the people who run the Fed spaces. They get Labor Day off, government jobs.
Now, why do you think that is?
It's, you know, it's good to recognize and celebrate labor. But they don't get the day off just because, I mean, you don't stop saving people's lives in the hospital, you know, stop policing society, don't stop, you know, building bridges, fixing, repairing infrastructure, just because it's the first Monday of September. But, you know, if you have an email job, like, it's fine. You just use, put your email remind, you know, your auto reply on, and anybody who emails you will know that you're off for till the next day. It's just a lot easier. It's just out of convenience. So it's a privilege to have an email job. To remember, it's like a good to remember what you would have to do if you didn't have the luxury of an email job.
I mean, it's kind of a reminder to the working class of their position in society, of their role of being subservient to the blue collar email jobbers, or white collar email jobbers. We don't live in a country where it's appropriate to stop flipping hamburgers at McDonald's.
Should you turn off the data centers and the miners on long weekends? Should they just be shut off on the weekend at all? Should clankers get Labor Day off?
Well, I think this is why a lot of people find the clankers attractive. It's, you know, if does the transhumanist future actually bring more equity to the world on Labor Day in particular, where everybody goes from, well, I mean, here's the thing that's hard is the clankers are probably better at email jobs than most of the people doing email jobs. And there is a future where they might get better at doing kind of a blue collar work or, you know, just a pass, like, you know, flipping burgers or, you know, whatever it is. And I mean, here pretty soon, every day might be a Labor Day for a lot of people.
Well, they just see the robot, AI robot Olympics in China.
Yeah.
And you had their AI robots. They were doing the 100-yard dash and the pole vault, whatever. It's, I mean, think about it. In the future, you have these robots that work on Labor Day instead of people. And you could have, you know, robot running down the street chasing a criminal. They're fast. You know, they just announced that ICE is spending millions of dollars on robot dogs to help enforce immigration law on, like, the borders. So, like, I don't know if you ever watched Black Mirror. And it was, like, the Blade Runner or something episode. And it was, like, these robot dogs were just chasing around people with, like, these knives, like, trying to fucking chop them up. They're doing that now, you know, at the border, at customs. And these dogs, like, these robot dogs, you don't have to train them the same way. You don't have to give them as many treats. People don't try to pet them. You don't have to give them baths and give them attention, take them for walks. They just are cold-blooded hunters, human hunters.
Yeah, ICE is doing some odd things at the moment. So they got the robot dogs, and then they have the electric gloves. Do you see those? The taser hand.
Yeah, like the taser gloves, yeah. Yeah, like when I was going through school, and a lot of people before me, the bullies had like those little things you put on your finger, and then you go and you shake somebody's hand and it zaps them. It's a prank. And they've given those to ICE agents. They're going to go around and they're going to say, "Hey, welcome to America. Can I help you with anything? Just wanted to say hello." And then they zap them and say, "Actually, psych, you're deported."
As I go around, we've seen all these protests about ICE. We've seen all these headlines about mass deportations. You go outside, you're driving down the street, you see a roofing company. You like pull over the gas station, or you know, you see all these day laborers hanging out there. And they're all speaking Hispanic, or like Mexican, essentially. And they don't look like Mexicans though. They look like various other Central Americans. I mean, does it really seem like there's actually been any deportations at all? Because it seems like things are still getting built. And, like, we haven't seen food shortages at stores yet. So, like, crops are still getting picked. And I don't know. I mean, I don't, like, survey the average person's house, but it seems like bathrooms are getting cleaned.
That's a good point. People haven't really noticed a drop in... A drop in labor, drop in services, drop in availability. But, I mean, it was getting pretty expensive for steak until recently. But now I think Walmart or Amazon or something is selling beef for $1.99 a pound. So, like, I don't know, where are these prices? Is this from data? Is this the data centers? Are the data centers making, causing a deflation in commodity prices and meat prices? Or is this cheap $2 a pound meat coming from? I was told the opposite's gonna happen. I was told all this stuff was gonna be way more expensive.
I'm kind of afraid to ask where the meat's coming from. I guess things have been it. There has been an inflation rate, a steady inflation rate. Maybe the inflation rate is caused by like a progressive deportation of laborers.
Well, it would certainly cause, like, you know, housing cost to decrease if there was less demand for units, depending on your city. I saw somebody talking the other day that it seems like every house in Nashville is for sale right now. People are trying to, like, the amount of sellers, the ratio of sellers to buyers has never been wider. So more people are sellers and there's nobody purchasing right now. And interest rates are, I mean, this would be talking about this last week, which is they're intervening in the bond markets. They just had the Fed's keynote, Kevin Warsh's keynote in Wyoming, in Jackson Hole the other day, because interest rates, especially long-term, keep going up. So mortgage rates are going through the roof, but meat prices are falling through the floor.
I think it's important that for Bitcoin people to understand that it's not a good idea to tell the NPCs to go carnivore. It's like the more you get the NPCs going carnivore, the harder it is to you know, be able to afford meat. It's just a simple supply and demand thing. I mean, it's just like you like dunk on them in private about like how dumb being a vegan is, or, you know, whatever. And then just like appreciate it every time you go to the meat guy, buy meat for Bitcoin. But these guys like Dr. Sean Baker, you know, pose a serious threat.
He's he's a doctor. He can afford expensive ribeyes, but for the average person, when everybody shows up to buy hamburger and steak, it's driving prices out of control. Maybe the price, the drop in prices, is a function of, after the cold curd thing, there's like maxi purity test fog lifted. I mean, did we just see like a bunch of people just drop the carnivore diet?
Yeah, I mean, that could have dropped demand pretty dramatically for sure. It's harder to buy a half cow. This could be the case too, is that, you know, individuals were stocking up and now they're stocked up and they've got like 3 freezers in their house full of beef and now they don't need it anymore. And so there's...
What happened to the, you know, impossible burgers, impossible meat?
Well, I saw recently a headline that somebody was selling lab-grown meat. Did you see that?
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know the details.
Well, in Impossible Burger is essentially like, you know, I think it's a soy protein derivative that is like flavored to taste like meat. So it's just like, it's slop garbage, essentially.
Like Taco Bell meat?
Yeah. Probably on par with Taco Bell meat. And lab-grown meat is like a synthetic version of real meat. I don't know if they're like 3D printing it or how.
Is this like, it's like peptides. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
Do they give the meat, do they give the cows peptides, or do they use the peptides and then make it steak flavored?
I'm not sure. This could be problematic though for people with crowd health.
Right. But we still don't have perfect regulatory clarity. First they talked about they're banning people who have taken peptides from ever getting, it's not insurance, like whatever, being a member of the club. And then they walked it back due to like crazy outrage. People are like, you cannot ban amino acids. And so like, right, as long as you did peptides and you've had normal sized balls, you can stay on. But like everybody now is asking like, what is normal sized balls? And they didn't give an official response. Other people were saying like, if you have to ask, if you like, are these normal size? You don't have normal size. But people were like, why? That's not, you know, it just creating more confusion than it was creating clarity. And a lot of people took their families off of insurance plans because they wanted to have health coverage on a Bitcoin standard. And they also thought that because BGE Sessions and Robert Breedlove and Gary Leland were showing peptides, that Crown Health was thought that was good, not bad.
It's hard when you have these trends that are popular amongst podcasters that end up conflicting.
Right. It's a lot of people look to the podcasters to kind of like set the Overton window, the limits on it of like, what is okay? And next thing you know, it's like, now my kid can't get, or you know, now I can't get medicine for my gout because my balls temporarily shrank from taking a few peptides from China.
What do you think their idea of normal sized is? Is it just limitations based on if they're small or could they be too big?
Nobody knows. That's where the confusion is coming from. And it's like people are pulling out like back in the, it seems like forever, you know, not too far ago. People have like these scalpels in it. It was like they could, they wanted to take the shape of your skull on 4chan or some of these that they forums, and you could tell about the shape of your skull and how wide these clippers had open, like what your physiognomy was and whether or not you had, so they could measure your IQ. And then like, doing the same thing, it's like, I already have to KYC to join Crowd Health. I already have to dox myself there. Now I've got to send you a picture of my testicles before you'll give me money for my health care services.
Yeah, it's Nobody knows the full extent of how far this KYC will go. Yeah, I mean, you've been hearing the stories, right, about how individuals now can see you walking around via your Wi-Fi. I guess it's been a thing for a while, but somebody made it a little bit more accessible publicly.
But like flock cameras that can trace you, like the predator from the Predator, maybe they can like see you, like your heat signature from your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I think it kind of acts almost like a sonar type thing, where, you know, based on how the Wi-Fi waves bounce off of the things there, they can see what you're doing walking around.
Yeah, you know, everything's a trade-off, right? It's like, you want privacy, but if you want access to the internet, you're going to have to give that up.
Well, and this is one of those things, too, where it's, I think it's, some routers are more vulnerable than others, but it's just this. What's that?
Does Monero solve this?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm pretty sure that most people, like if you're on Cake Wallet on your cell phone, you're probably interacting using Wi-Fi pretty frequently. And so
is this how Club Orange, the Orange Bill app, tracks location of all its users?
I don't think so, but it could be.
Right, this is like Club Orange. It's like you open it up and you're like, all right, this is where everybody with who owns Bitcoin is currently in my local area. It's a map up there. It's like the Bitcoin maps where you can spend Bitcoin. Typically the people are around, they kind of hover, they gather around the Cash App, Square apps. So you can just kind of you can triangulate between those two apps to figure out where most of the people are. But I mean, combined with Flock, they could probably do a partnership with Orange Pill app and they could figure out all the Bitcoiners in your area and what they're doing.
That's a good idea.
Especially if you put a Flock camera at all the Cash App pins, all the locations where you can spend Bitcoin, all the stake and shakes. You could between Flock, the Cash App, Square Maps, and Club Orange, you could track everybody.
Absolutely. The surveillance state is really an opportunity that could be repurposed and redirected in order to make it easier to hang out with Bitcoiners. It's very exciting. I mean, hasn't Bitcoin Magazine tried to do this a few times with their app for the conference?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I think every app is going to become a tool to help make sure, like, you can track and locate the users of the people from that community. And that's ultimately what those apps are for in the first place. But yeah, like a Bitcoin conference app, so you can always find who's at the conferences or where there's a conference nearby. Maybe you didn't even know there was one, and then you see everybody there, and you're like, "I did, oh, boom, conference, hell yeah!" Or like a podcast. Like every app ultimately kind of serves as a way to track everybody in your community. It's like you can have a community watch. And it's like instead of like the neighborhood watch, where it's like the legacy version of that. It was just your neighborhood, your cul-de-sac. Now it's people, your group chat, you know? It's like, I want to check my group chat map to make sure everybody's made it home safe on Friday night or whatever.
Well, the applications like Palantir very easily could solve the population growth issue or decline issue by using all the data that they're collecting in order to match people with their soulmates. Instead of figuring out who the CIA should be germ bombing. Like a lot of this information could be repurposed for the benefit of humanity.
I like, you know, what they could also track the women, they could track their the menstrual cycle. So they could like help you find people who are fertile so you can mate.
Well, what's odd is Peter Thiel already does this. I just don't know if he just hoards the data for himself.
I mean, they just need to make add a little toggle switch on Orange Pill app. Boom. Show me people at this point in their cycle. Like that's who I would like to meet tonight.
And if Orange Pill app partnership were partnered with Flock and they partnered with Palantir, it might actually be a compelling product. Or at least if they, like, they might already be partnering that with them, but if they partnered with them in a way that the users of the app could benefit from instead of the individuals behind the app.
Are Uber or Orange Fountain? Like, who's in this local area that's listening to old episodes, Rabbit Hole Recap, kind of reminiscing on, you know, Matt and Marty doing podcasts every week?
Speaking of which, I've been meaning, I just haven't gotten the chance to do it yet, but I've been meaning to do a tutorial on how to go to the Clark Moody dashboard and look at it. I think there's a lot of plebs out there that don't know how to do that and are not understanding what's happening with metrics related to Bitcoin, since Marty's not reading it weekly on our Twitter anymore.
Oh, it's even harder. It's like, if you're trying to follow Bitcoin Blake, how? Like, which mempool do I look at? How do I see all the stuff the Clark Moody's dashboard just easily displays and reports for me?
Yeah, I guess the end of the year is going to be fun to watch to see what these guys come up with, if they're able to get their token listed on an exchange or not, if they're going to get any wallets to support it. I don't think it's that hard to get a wallet to support it. You can just fork a lot of these clients.
Yeah, like Chris Guida can fork Sparrow probably pretty easily for it.
They
don't even
have
to change
involved?
That much.
Is Chris
Guida involved? He's one of the main... He's one of the main duds.
Oh, it's hard to keep track of this because, like, when you're blocked by all these guys, you have to spend a lot of energy, like, going and looking at them instead of just showing up.
Well, Chris Guida, for the longest time, Chris Guida describes himself as a lightning dev, and they're gonna need some good lightning devs on Blake. And I guess, you know, Chris will be, because I don't think Luke is much of a lightning guy, a lightning dev. So it's pretty much going to be Chris Guida. He's going to play the role of, you know, CLN, L&D, Lightning Labs, Stark, you know. I don't know if there's going to be an arc for Blake Bitcoin, but potentially. I don't know if they're going to put USD key on Blake Lightning, but, like, somebody's got to support that. And you need the taproot assets for Blake. It's going to be Chris. He's going to be like one of those defense lawyers who's got like 700 criminals that can't afford lawyers that he's got to represent in court every day. And that's going to be Chris Guida triaging. I mean, think about, good thing Need Creations didn't go on the Blake fork because he is a very high maintenance Lightning user. You would be bogging down all of Chris Guida's capacity to triage the Lightning tickets, because we all know that Lightning is very finicky and very rarely works. I hope that the Blake forkers have listened to our podcast enough to know that Frontier, the Revolution, does not have a good UX. Like, if Chris Guida is your only Lightning dev, you're going to have a worse UX than Noster. I mean, are we going to be able to zap using Blake coins on Noster? What about Zap Podcast? On Fountain.
Well, I don't think most of these guys are fans of Noster.
So then I guess they won't be supporting, like, you know, the Blake Aldi extension.
Have you been around Noster at all? Is there anything going on with Noster at the moment?
I haven't been able to load anything on the app for months. I haven't checked it for months.
I've checked it. I mean, to me, it seems like the actual, like, the most useful use case for Noster at the moment is Fountain. As funny as that is, I mean, imagine saying that Fountain is useful.
Well, yes, I guess the only thing I've seen from Noster is occasionally whenever the comments will load when I open the Fountain app. So, like, one out of every four times that I check Fountain, I can see some of the comments that we got. And then when we read the boosts on the show, that's the only time I see Noster content.
To me, that seems like it's working pretty good.
It works what I needed, I guess.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work for some of our paid subscribers, it sounds like. I've been hearing complaints from individuals that are, they get, like, unsubscribed because their wallet balances fall below a certain amount, and then they attempt to resubscribe, and then they're blocked from doing so for whatever reason. I mean, so, like, these companies that have very poor communication or just, like, response times providing customer service when we have bugs in their applications. Like, what, as a customer, like, what's the solution here? Is it to be like, need creations? It'd be dragging them on the timeline.
Well, somebody says like, I don't want to be like need creations. You are giving me no choice. I tried to start a business and rely on your product because you were blowing me up in my DM or trying to get on a short call and make me, you know, migrate my business, my podcast over to your platform. And then your metrics, your analytics don't work. They're not even pulling in all the data and people can't subscribe. And it's at a certain point, you cannot improve the UX. This isn't Noster, you know, or maybe the problem is building the infrastructure on top of Noster, which doesn't have a dedicated customer support, you know, or protocol help desk to fix problems.
Yeah, maybe the problem isn't that it's on Noster, it's the attitude of the individuals building the product, of them behaving like it's on Noster. I think there's an attitude of individuals interacting with Noster that's appropriate for these products not to function or work. It's kind of a fourth turning mindset, if you think about it.
It's the way it is.
So you guys think that you're going to disrupt Instagram, you're going to disrupt the centralized platforms, you're going to disrupt Coinbase, and you're not willing to build out just like a basic, decent, half decent UX.
It is an entitlement. It almost feels like some of the mistakes that plans, like plans demanded, or people would thought they were entitled to good user experience, and companies at the same time thought they were entitled to not having to give their customers a good, like, it's like they were trying to issue purity tests to their customers. And I tweeted this recently. What's your audience? Glaze your users. And it seems like a lot of companies, especially in the Bitcoin space, are lecturing their users and glazing their audience. Their audience doesn't use or pay for their product. Their audience usually just criticizes it. So why are you glazing your enemies, glazing your obstacles, and lecturing and issuing purity tests to the people who actually use this for your product?
Well, I think this is something that Ocean Mining has generally done fairly good on. They, at least in the recent, they seemed, in the departure of Luca Mechanic from the company, it seems like they are focusing more on UX instead of lecturing their customers.
I think this will be a real opportunity then to turn things around.
Going into the cycle, is PlebSlop as a business model going to be as sustainable as it has been in the past? So it feels like it definitely isn't. Individuals are still going to try. They're still going to try and monetize Slop. But what does it look like? How is it different than prior?
I don't think it is. I think it's the end. I think most of these are going to go out of business. I think most of them are close. Most of them are on the verge. I don't think that they're going to survive, to be quite honest.
Well, there's this really strange phenomenon that I think you've seen, is Corey's walking around doing vlogs now. He doesn't have, used to have podcasts.
They're doing cooking shows. Well, yeah, true.
Did you watch the cooking show?
I've seen some of the reactions to it. Apparently American Idol had some interesting moments, but I haven't gotten to it yet. But yeah, Corey used to have 30 people. Oh, dude, it's vlogging. Now it's him by himself. It's Corey. He's like Joe Nakamoto. He's traveling the world doing vlogs in different cities. I mean, wasn't Joe Nakamoto one of the people, like the old joke, it was Brandon and Stephen Lubka and Walker and Joe Nakamoto and Corey, and couldn't tell who was who because they all look alike.
So, and talking talking to some boomers, looking at boomer, political kayfabe media, it seems like people are pretty wound up going into the midterms, worried about the democratic socialists of America. I don't know if you've been following this story, but it seems like socialism.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's I mean, we talked about it. I think on the show that it was coming. the left, the Democrats were going to kind of lose legitimacy and power, authority on, at the national level, but the Demsocs, the populists were going to really take over their influence and control in cities like New York, Chicago, San Francisco, et cetera, LA.
So the Broccoli haircuts really seem to be split between pretty evenly between socialism and like very militant right wing, what some might call fascism, it seems like. And it's got the boomers scared.
The boomers are always scared. That's one of the problems is it's like the boomer who cried socialism. They didn't call everything socialism.
I mean, have you been going on any of these spaces and listening to the boomers crash out?
No, I've only been hearing about it secondhand. I can't do it. It's too cringe.
Well, it's a time commitment is what it is. You got to listen to a lot of nonsense to get to the crash out. There's a lot of like, just like really, really poor take. I mean, so what's the saga been with the Sam's podcast that I saw you wrapped up and involved with and the profile pictures?
Guy used to say he was going to file a police report against Timothy Bitcoins for AI slopping his profile picture. And a lot of people have, in solidarity, slopped their own face on the picture. So now he's got to file a police report against countless people.
So you think you're going to have a police report filed against you for this?
It's possible. He threatened to do it. So he did not threaten me individually, but he did threaten a few people.
So it seems like some Jewish lawyers might take advantage of the situation.
Mr. Katz, we're gonna have to give him a call, give him back on retainer.
I mean, does the litigious nature of is that kind of like a first turning activity? Is getting Jewish lawyers involved for every little thing, or is that kind of like a third, fourth turning?
I mean, we just talked about the socialists here. I mean, the first turning last time is the McCarthyism. Everybody was freaking out about communism, and there was, you know, a bunch of hearings and trials and interrogations. A lot of lawyers were involved. So yeah, I mean, if history repeats itself, if the turning repeats itself.
Was it McCarthy gay?
I don't know if that was J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah, that was J. Edgar Hoover. I don't think you could be the FBI director without.
All right. Maybe, yeah, like most of those jobs in Langley or in, you know, deep state, that's kind of a prereq.
So I don't know. What's your feeling for this upcoming week? I feel like it's going to be a big week. There's going to be some stuff happening. That's a big point.
I could see 90K. I could see a really bullish week. Yeah. I mean, it looks like oil's going back up. So might be some chop. It seems like the administration likes to wait for Bitcoin to pump, like stocks to pump before they start bombing somebody again. So maybe that's what's going to happen. I don't know. But even all that aside, the trade war, bonds, the bond market keeps going, we could see you at 90K. I mean, I don't know. You're good. I'm just speculating, but I think you're right. It's going to be a big week.
Feels like we're getting into nothing stops his train territory. It's no longer a thought exercise of the macro elders parroted in Lynn Alden.
We're gonna revert to the mean when it comes to the M2 chart.
I mean, if there was any reason to be in doubt that this was gonna be a big week, I think you've seen Dennis Porter is getting active again, getting very bullish on the timeline.
No, yeah, Dennis is real. He's helping him real hard lately. Taking no prisoners.
Absolutely. Well, you got any other topics before we get into the found boost?
Now let's get into it.
First boost from late stage HODL 6000 success is boosting into the void, but number goes up. Yeah, late stage HODL, we were discussing one of the issues or users impacted by this founding issue, and I don't know. I'll see if I can talk to these guys, but you know how it is. You feel like you're boosting into the void. I feel like I'm sending error reports into the void, or service requests, or you know, whatever you call it.
Alpha Ray, late stage, when you boost into the void, they say sometimes it boosts back. So I hope it boosts back. I hope the void boosts back at you. I hope the void boosts your bangers. Next one's from Akashi Hayogo. We definitely appreciate Clark Made Guide. I added to Google it 2 weeks ago. There were so many numbers, I closed it immediately. There you go. I mean, it's not just a how to look up Clark Moody. It's once you find it, what do you do with all this information? It's very intimidating.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I fully understand how to do it exactly, but I think I can get my wife to explain it to me, and then I can explain it to our users. But yeah, I guess that's my confirmation. I guess I gotta buckle down and work on that this week. Thanks for the boost, Akashi. Orchmart, 5,000 sats, no comment. Appreciate it, Orchmart. What would you rather do, Rod? Would you rather be hanging on Orchmart or playing GTA 6?
At this point, I don't know the difference. I feel like if you want to play GTA 6 and you're tired of waiting for it to come out, just go play Orchmart. It's, at least you can spend Bitcoin in there. At least you can listen to Bitcoin podcasts. You might not have as nice clothes. You might not have any clothes, actually. In fact, you want to begin with. But, you know, you can also bet on who's going to have the most junk or whatever they call it, scrap on predicts. So it's like you can use prediction markets and spend Bitcoin and listen to podcasts in Orchmart, in Team or in GTA 6. You can't even beat up the prostitutes anymore. Next boost is 5,005 sats from Sasha. Interesting take on Canada. They sure do have TDS, except my dad. Their trucker rally was good, though. Their trucker rally was good until the cops beat up all the old ladies.
And J.W. Otherman started running around threatening to sue people. I'm glad your dad doesn't have TDS. That's probably why you ended up okay. Bubba, 4,500 sass, says, cut to the chase. Canada doesn't matter and never has, never will. It is that simple. Flock cameras don't matter. Your phone and your new car surveil more than anything else you know. The chaos of youth is because they have no outlet with music. Gay fucking men singing like fags or pop princess shit. They need some angry rock and roll or real rap, not hip hop, blah, blah, blah. Again, Canada is nothing and will always be nothing. Dudley fucking do right. And tragically, hip always sucked. That's why they cannot break in America or anywhere else for matter. That's good enough. Good news, boys. Well, I kind of agree. It's, you know, metal music is very cyclical. I guess rock kind of falls into that too, but just like the harder rock metal is very cyclical depending on, it seems like it kind of comes and goes every like decade or so on and off. I think it's a little bit less than that, but it's, the outlet of music is very real. And we're talking about the DSA guys and the, you know, the fascist broccoli haircuts. I could see them, you know, moshing some punk rock music, some metal music in the future.
Okay, next one on my list here is Shadrach, 3,333. Please put me in touch with Dave's pleb at no repair. My $3,000 Star 9 pleb now died 2 days ago, and I'm worried about losing my social capital. Takes in advance 40 hours per week. We'll do. I already hit you up with the back channel, Shadrach. Hopefully you got your pleb node tuned up. Oil changed. Is Ryan Smith like new?
Yeah, this is a bummer. He was talking about it in the group chat. Hopefully, Dave can help you get it working again. Do you have any idea what he charges for fixing brick nodes?
No, we didn't get the prices. I'll have to find out. Call Dave.
Jolly Roger, 1,777 sats, says, regarding the first turning, can you point to the defining climax of the fourth turning? It kind of looks like they're building up to it with the wars, but maybe I don't understand the theory well enough.
Yeah, the turning point was when Trump won presidency again. He was elected to tear down all the institutions, make them irrelevant through association, delegitimize it, and give birth to the AI epoch. So once it was set in motion, it was as good as done. So you could start now. If your apartment complex made a cameo in Boom Boom Tel Aviv, you know, you need to focus on surviving the fallout of the crumbling institutions of the fourth turning. If you live, you know, in most of the United States, to flyover country, El Salvador, you have already moved in to the first turning. It is a vector. The first turning is a vector. But I think if you have to ask, am I in the fourth turning? You're not in the fourth turning, because you don't have to ask if you're in the fourth turning when there's drones dropping grenades on top of you when you're in a trench, or if you're playing Dennis Porter clips in a bomb shelter in Tel Aviv. You know you're in the first or the fourth turning. For most, the rest of us were in the first.
Well said. Stack Jero, 1200 sats, says, got some entropy up in your ear. Noise from you guys will be part of the decentralization of media in the sense that it's more than noise. You guys act as one of the arbiters of entropy in the podcast space. It might be part of the reason in the future why more people go from Bitcoin ETFs to self-custody, all the while not recommending a single point of failure in self-custody. Well, I guess I appreciate the glaze. It sounds like glaze to me.
I never turned the best type of glaze, free glaze. The real best type of glaze is the glaze that pays you.
Yeah.
Blizza, 957 sats. Please accept this minor financial contribution to help fund Viewer Newsroom Typewriter Inc. expenditure. Thank you. Luckily, sure. Typewriter Inc. is going down as memory and compute costs go up. So good economic positioning on our part.
Appreciate it, Blizza. Rev Honnold, 420 sats, says, this music video shows how much the Beagle News has a finger on the pulse of Bitcoin culture. Thanks, Rev Honnold.
Nasser Gang, 101 sats. I love this song.
I think that was the Crayley St. Pod. Zoyo Z, 100 sats, says, fuck inflated cup coffee, a Bugle sub instead. Money well spent. There you go. Appreciate it. Probably said that and then tried to subscribe and that didn't even work. Well, thank you to our subscribers. Southside Dave, Jolly Roger, used to read a lot. Wahav, Shadrach, PTC on board, Boomer, Fundamentals, Sean, Open Mike, and Avi Burra. Appreciate you guys. It's going to be a big week. I think we're both feeling it. It's going to be fun to watch. Is this the end of White Boy Summer tomorrow?
No, next weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, midweek.
Oh, Labor Day is next weekend. I thought it was tomorrow for some reason. Okay. That's right. Well, you got any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
No, just don't get lost in the kayfabe.
Folks, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Beagle Weekly, and we'll catch you next week.
Disappears with every step.